This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people.
Good night, Bahamas, and welcome to a wonderful station, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino Braun, a.k.a. Scoochie Scrooge or Scroogey, host of the talk show that premieres every Friday, except holidays. Excuse me. Every Friday at all. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, and you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. And you can also look up us at 969 Guardian Crest, and you can listen to us live by TV on the radio. And I would like to say to all the guests who listen to Inside in the City and those who call in, you do a fantastic job of having a wonderful conversation that is good for everyone to listen. You know, we all get tempered and get high-spirited and we curse at one another and we get upset. But I like the fact that as a host, I can have a conversation without being offensive. And that I have guests, I mean, a caller's calling or guests, and callers who call in who are calm and collective, and they are given their 2 cents, and it's valuable 2 cents because a lot of them have a lot of solution. A lot of them are feeling the same way that some of the conversation we have on the show. So I want to thank everyone who calls in and those who listen. You are doing a wonderful job and keep up the good work. So feel free to call in. Today's show, we're going to talk a little about our meet today at the advisory committee. We talk a little bit about Chester Cooper's investment and community development in the family island, which I want to applaud him for a job well done on him using the government resources to get investment to invest in the family island. But at the same time, he is saying, hey, there are some houses that needs to be repaired, and we're going to build this resort, and the community is going to benefit from this. So why not at the same time that we're going to invest in the hotel or the development that is in process, you know, let's give some back and make sure that these residents who live here on the family island will benefit greatly of the investment that is being made by foreign entities. So as a government entity and as a member of parliament, he is doing this for his constituency, he's doing this for his community. And I'm only saying this because this is the kind of stuff I want to hear that is going to make a big impact and change the lives of the constituents. We have to get rid of this poverty and get this family structure back. So this kind of investment, I want to go a little further on. That's going to be in the second half of the show. Okay? I want to give congrats to a wonderful person. We did some work about 15 years ago. Lady Sharon Wilson. Again, I repeat, Lady Sharon Wilson. We did some work back 15 years ago on how we can help the less fortunate. And together, working together with the Women's Branch, we were able to come up with a 10-point plan, which was taken to the party. And some legislation was passed. And this is the doing of Lady Cheryl Wilson, myself and the Women's Branch of the Progressive Party, and the party actually won the general election, and many of these legislations was passed. I just want to congratulate Ms. Wilson on a job well done. She really deserves it. She has done tremendous good works. They continue to give scholarships and support to many Bahamians who are less fortunate. And Sir Frankie Wilson and their family have an organization where they give those scholarships. I want to congratulate their Lady Cheryl Wilson on a job well done. She is now the ambassador to the United Mexican States. You know, and I also like to give a shout out to my good friend Chris Brown, who also is an ambassador. I would like to say this administration is doing a good job of showing gratitude for those who have contributed greatly to the country over the course of the last 30, 40 years. And I would like to say that truly, Chris Fireman Brown deserve it. Even Sebastian for coming from nowhere to be a successful businessman. Now he is an ambassador, and now Lady Cheryl Wilson, long overdue, but I think she's going to do a wonderful job in endorsing. Again, congratulations to the Wilson family on a job well done, and all the latest appointees, ambassadors that the government of the Bahamas picked to be ambassadors for the country. I look at a lot of the names, and I truly, they said they were handpicked, but they're handpicked right because they contributed greatly. Chris Brown contributed greatly for the Bahamas, where he went around the world. Cheryl Wilson, she is just remarkable. And to many others who name it and call, you guys truly deserve being ambassadors. And on the government's behalf, I would say a job well done. Before we begin the show, I just want to read something from the leader of the opposition. He sponsored an ad that needs to be talked about every Friday for about 2 minutes. And it concerns his program that he started, and he wants people to get involved. So I'm looking for it right now, so give me a second. And I'd be so busy. But again, congrats. To all of the new appointees ambassador on a job that I know is going to be well done, and we're going to be well represented wherever you are. Okay, the leader of the Pentad, Michael Pentad, he, you know, for a long time wanted to make a difference. Now he has a chance to make a difference as the opposition leader. Maybe he could get his party and his structure within the party to say, look, you know, we have to put programs in place to see how we can reduce crime and poverty in the country. And I guess this is his way now that he is in opposition as a way to get some traction on something that is most important in the country. So thumbs up to him. So I'm going to read it. And this is just his say. FNM leader of the opposition, Michael Pentad. And I read it last week, but like I said, I got a sponsor for it because he said this is the show, so I have to do this. Crime and violence in the Bahamas has become an endemic. It is one of the Bahamas' major priority challenges. Therefore, something must be done immediately within our communities. The increasing high rate of crime appears to be too much for government and law. Enforcement agencies alone cannot control it. The traditional focus of our national effort in coordinating crime through repulsive or police force-related methods alone are no longer adequate. The solution and cures for crime and violence-related problems are and must be based on community engagement and participation of our citizens. Involvement with each other within our communities is the most important element of community crime prevention and intervention. Community engagement brings about healthy social interactions. Rabbis, residents of the community maintain a great degree of familiarity, means we get to know one another, regard and respect for one another. Such interactions and familiarity create the environment for more natural conflict resolutions. We must begin to amplify conflict resolution. The hope of each one reach one coalition is to engage all aspects of our community and citizens until conflict resolution is fostered and becomes first nature in the communities. The Each One Reach One movement is a collaboration effort of a number of community-minded advocates and activists that have joined together to do what we believe is a vital task in reducing the levels of violence and crime within our communities. We understand that the public health approach to violence and crime is the new norm around the world in leading countries. We understand the essential importance of arts, one-on-one session with individuals and instruction within our communities. Overall, our main objective is to provide the necessary resources such as information for intervention, thereby assisting with positive uplifting and transformation of the minds and hearts of our people and inevitably our communities. And Each One Reach One is the organization. So if those who are interested in working with the opposition leader to help with this program, I guess you can check with the leader of the opposition's office. And I think this is a good venture. You know, we need all hands on deck, and he's starting early. So all hands on deck, and I wish Mr. Michael Pintar and those who are a part of this organization, Each One Reach One, you guys continue to do the good work, and we need each and every one in this country now to come together and deal with the cause of poverty, crime, and we also have to deal with development. Okay. All right. So now, okay. So where I'm going to start now? All right. I give congratulations to Lady Cheryl Wilson. I talked about that. And updates. Just recently today, I had an opportunity as the advisory, as part of the advisory committee of the Ministry of National Security, some of the stuff that Michael Pintar talked in his statement that was given to me to talk on the radio is on par with the Ministry of National Security under the leadership of the Minister of National Security, the Honorable Vian Monroe. Also leading the forefront on the widened data is Kiva Bedell. She works along with Dr. David Allen at the Ministry of National Security. And they are doing a wonderful job of collecting information. And they're not just doing it by data. They're doing it by having people with experience like myself. We also have, to the meeting, we had Cleopatra Christie. I don't think she was in attendance, but she might have been there. Can't really remember. Belinda Chipman, Ismela Davis Delancey. Terry Delancey was not present, but all of them are part of the advisory committee at the Ministry of National Security. We get Ms. Brenda Dorsett. We get Leela Green, Ms. Barbara Hepburn. William Lund was not in attendance, but he's a part of the board. Dr. Sandra Dan Patterson, Ramon Ramsey, wrote the piece, Mike Russell, Carla Green Smith, Dawn Taylor, right? And also to the meeting, it's the new commissioner of prison, Mr. Clare. And there are some good news concerning the development of the prison. Like I'm saying, I'm getting first-hand information, so I'm giving you, the general public, first-hand information. Some is confidential, but this is good news, and I want to spread the good news with the Ministry of National Security and with the prison under the leadership of this new commissioner, Mr. Clare. Commissioner Clare, he is a people's people, listening to him today, and he talked about some of the problems that facing prison. But also, they're talking about reentry. They're talking about parole. And I like the idea of how they are taking it step by step. They're also building a new prison at Bahamas Correctional Institute. And the prison, according to listening to the commissioner, you know, we're the first one to see it. The Minister of National Security saw it the first time as we saw it, and it's going to be great. Some of the details I'm going to give, so follow me. I can't remember everything, but I try my best. According to the new commissioner at the prison, he stated that it's going to be the state of the art. Normally, we have seven guys in the cell, and it's overcrowded. The new prison would have adequate space. Four beds would be in a room. They would have running water and toilet. I don't know if they're going to have access to TV, but I think access to TV will be included. Also, they would also have a mini hospital. And listen to the minister and commissioner. Many people would object to why would they want to put a hospital or a clinic in the prison. Well, for many reasons, and he stated, the Minister of National Security, he stated that many people complain about the prison having a hospital in it. And me wondering why, then I listened to what the minister and what the commissioner of the prison said, and he said that, you know, when the prisoners are sick and we are going to transport them to the Princess Margaret Hospital, that many of the nurses and doctors don't really want to treat the prisoners, more like afraid. Well, if I was them, I would have been afraid too, because you're dealing with a lot of people with a lot of social ills, and you don't know when they can snap. So if I'm the doctors and nurses at the hospital, you know, even though we are all human, some of these individuals are very dangerous, and you know when they can snap. So I don't know who would be against having a clinic or a hospital in Her Majesty's prison to deal with the inmates. It saves the taxpayers a lot of money, and it's also a safety measure to save the doctors and nurses, also to save the prison officers and also the prisoners for themselves. Because, you know, like I said, you know, you can't blame them, nurses and doctors, you know. So as far as I'm concerned, as to build a hospital or a clinic in a new prison, it's a thumbs up for me. Many people out there will say, you know, these guys in prison, and they should get what they deserve. Well, look at all the statistics around the world and look at the country and see that many of these guys are going to come right back on the streets. 90% are going to hit the streets, and if they are not properly rehabilitated and treated humanity at the prison so that they'd be ready to be re-entry back in society so that they become productive citizens instead of them becoming what you call it, a problem child or a menace to society, which takes innocent lives in the country. So to me, it's just It's great news. They're also putting a pantry where they can have different sets of food available for the inmates, you know. And like I said, if you look at the statistics, if you look at our country right now, they saying most of the young persons who get charged with serious offenses, once they're released, they either kill somebody or they are killed themselves. So it shows you that they're very dangerous. It shows you that they also are a target once they get back in society. So, yes, you know, like they said, there are 4 persons per room. You know, and that's a plus. Instead of 7 young men, they'd have running water, probably TV. And many of us might disagree with this, but like I said, you know, it's a move in the right direction. And if you don't do something different in the country, if we don't do something differently in the country, and you're talking about punishment, well, you know, when you keep on punishing people, and they get hardened, and they come back at you. You ever put a dog in a cage and lock him down for 2-3 weeks? What has happened when you release him? You think you could catch him? Once you could get a crack and he see the light and he chew your leg, he'd run you all around the block. You know why? Because he being locked down for that 3 weeks. And that 3 weeks take away his freedom. Now, I'm not saying that a lot of persons out there don't deserve to be in prison. I'm not saying that. Yes, if you do the crime, you should do the time. But you always remember this. They're going to come out. So we have to make prison a place that deals with rehabilitation. The Ministry of National Security, this new commissioner at the prison, Mr. Clare, Don Clare, he has a different mindset. And under the leadership of the advisory committee, and let me call these great people again, and they're doing an outstanding job. Because we also are giving advice to the Ministry of National Security. You know, and again, Dr. David Allen, Kiva Bell, Cleopatra Christie, Belinda Chipman, Ishmael Davis Delancey, Terry Delancey, what is it? Brenda Dorsett, Leela Green, Barbara Hepburn, William Lund, Dr. Sandra Dean Patterson, Ramon Ramsey, Mike Russell, Carla Green-Smith, and Dawn Taylor. I think I forgot somebody. I forgot Mr. William Barr. So we're going to have a new prison soon, and this is going to break down the population. They're going to have programs put in place for re-entry back in society, okay? And then as far as to parole, you're not just going to be paroled for serious crime. What you're going to have to do, you know, because a lot of people say they want change but don't change. So they're going to let you be the judge, jury, and executioner. They'll let you do all the requirements to lead you to get to parole. That means prison requirement, good behavior. You go to classes, you go to anger management classes, you go to reentry classes, and et cetera. And then if you pass that stage, they're saying they consider you for parole. You understand? And then they would have programs in place step by step within a 2-year period while your training going on to prepare you for reentry back in society. So this is some good stuff and some good news for us here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. We need a new prison, and I think this administration is doing a good job to give us what we need to reduce the fear of crime and to reduce crime in this country. And one of those initiatives is that we need a new prison. The government is also doing a good job as building a new hospital. So we are heading in the right direction. But let me remind the general public, it's going to take time to develop. It's going to take like 20 years for us to get this crime problem and poverty problem under control here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Let me just say that. But I see the set of people who are the advisory board at the Ministry of National Security. I listen to David Allen. I listen to Kiva Bell, and they're doing the research, and they are talking to various different people, William Barr, I can't remember. That's my, he was my headmaster, one of my head principal at C.R. Walker. And I think it's Willard Barr. Excuse me if I pronounce it wrong. And he was giving his perspective on how the kids act in school. So he's sitting on the advisory board, and he was giving the minister and Dr. David Allen the challenges that the young females and young boys face in school based on the circumstances and incidents that happen throughout his entire career from different schools, you know, where he's principal or vice principal. And he talked about that. And it's more of a preventative measure on how we can also prevent the youngsters from going in a life of crime. So we're putting all the pieces together at the advisory board at the Ministry of National Security under the leadership of the Minister of National Security, Vane Monroe, and Dr. David Allen and Kiva Bell, and ourselves as individuals and persons who want to give back. And they listen to the input I give from a perspective as a person who came from the inner city community and still lives in the inner city community, and how we can put all these ideas together and make a formal map to give to the Minister of National Security so he could pass legislation so these things could be passed that we're talking about. So they consulted with us. So I would like to say that some big changes are happening. It's going to take time. I hope we be consistent. All right? I hope we be consistent and continue to have this dialogue and continue to understand now more than ever it's important for us to put preventative measures in place. And those in prison, we have to make sure that they themselves are ready to be led back in society to contribute. And also, the commissioner said there are a lot of persons who don't want to change. So they're building a part of the prison so that they said who don't want to change, who are just continuing the life of crime. Why is they in prison? He said they'd be held in a cell by themselves. So if you're a problem child and you know you are one who caused problem, well, you who don't want to change and don't want to go through the program, don't want just a violent person, fast or prison concerning, you can't go before the prerogative of mercy because the prison said that you have been in a lot of incidents. So you will have your own personal cell. Okay, so 4 per cell. They're going to run in water in the room. It's going to be extended. It's going to be twice the size as the original size of the current prison cells now at the Bahamas Correctional Center. So it's a step in the right direction. And for those who want to criticize and say that, you know, why are we doing all this? Well, look what happened when we ain't doing it. We have the Timothy Coles. We have my good friend, who I grew up, Rafi Nemo. You know, you have all these guys, you know. Simon Mushu McKenzie, who got shot, he passed away about 13 years ago. He got shot but 15 times, you know. So this is a step in the right direction. Okay, I'm going to take this call, and then we're going to go to the second half of the show. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City. Good night to you.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. I just caught the very last comment, and I wanted to call in because I don't know if you're aware, but there's a documentary series on Netflix called Inside the Worst Prison.
Yes.
And I love reality and shows, including documentaries, and I'm very intrigued by this whole concept of prison reform and
yes.
Rehabilitation versus punishment.
Yes.
Right? And there's a trend. Obviously, what I've found from watching this documentary, it has six seasons, and there are about 5 or 4 episodes in each season. And this guy has actually spent a week in prisons all over the world, including Brazil, Belize, Costa Rica, Cyprus.
They're dangerous prisons. They're dangerous prisons.
Sorry?
No, I'm saying they're dangerous, very dangerous prisons, what you're talking about.
Exactly, yeah. And he actually spent some time in a lot of the European prisons as well, like Norway, Denmark, Greenland, what have you. But I found from watching it, and I actually was going to send a note to the minister responsible for prisons. I was going to send him a note because it appears as if what they have going on in Belize is actually working for them.
Mm.
And it's something that we could probably use as a guide or
guideline, a pilot project.
Exactly.
Yes.
And you know, a lot of the prisons in like Mexico and Brazil, they're very, very crowded. Very crowded. And in fact, they actually have a system in those prisons where the prisoners actually are the ones who maintain law and order, but they do not maintain law and order in a corrupt way.
Mm.
They are prison officers, but yeah, they are actually prisoners.
Mm, yes, it makes sense. It makes sense.
But anyway, I just wanted to put that out there. I don't know if the minister is listening. He could probably watch the documentary and see if there's anything that he can take away from it, but I found it to be very fascinating, and like I said, I think Belize would actually be the one that probably would be better suited for us.
Mm.
And, you know, they talk about rehabilitation versus further punishment, and the prisoners were like, well, the fact that they were in prison was punishment enough.
That's right.
You know, and they're taking away all the liberties have been taken away. Of course, victims' families would probably have a different view on that.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, I think that's just something that, you know, that the minister or someone within the ministry could have a look at. But I think the one that works the best is Norway. Norway's prison.
They have hoses where the prisoners can have their families come and visit them.
Exactly.
Now they're empty. They're empty now. There's no one in prison. Am I correct?
Apparently, the recidivism rate in Norway, I think, dropped from about 70-something to 20-some% once they revamped and they redid their prison.
You bring it right down.
Exactly.
Yes. The prison population went completely down after they did something new.
They really focused on rehabilitation.
Yes.
Now, I don't know. I mean, I was watching the show with someone else, and the person who I was watching it with was like, well, you know, you think it's a different mindset of people. Like, you know, people from the Caribbean, their mindset is a bit different from European countries about, you know, reform and all that. But I think that people are people, and once you show people love and you reach out to them and show them that there's someone here who could actually willing to help them improve their life, you know, I think you might get something good back in return, even if it's 1 out of 10.
I do think we will get something back in return. I think if we try something new, go ahead.
So
you're talking, go ahead.
So the whole thing about a new prison, I am totally for it. I know that monies are needed for education and hospitals as well, but that prison is, I went on a field trip to the prison when I was in grade 8. I graduated about 30-some years ago.
Okay.
And I went on a field trip to the prison in grade 8. And we were taken into maximum security. And we were also taken over to the female side.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they've done some work on the female side a while back, a couple of years back. And that's been improved. But 30-some years ago, that maximum security prison section was a disaster.
Yeah.
So I can't even imagine how much worse it is now.
Wow.
You know?
It's worse. It's terrible.
It was a disaster. Exactly. So, like I said, I don't know.
You did wonderful. That's a prime example when you're talking about Norway.
Yeah, Norway. No, and I don't know if we'll be able to get to Norway because we have the beat up on numbers.
No.
Norway, the prison population is not as extensive as ours. But I think Belize, I thought Belize
culture.
They call it the Christian prison, the Bible prison. Apparently, and the gentleman who was hosting the show, he was of the view that it was more like a cult, like they were really indoctrinating them into, you know. But you know, we're a Christian nation. So I don't think it's going to take much for our people to go have a church service. You know?
Yeah, you're right.
You know, even if they don't really want to be there, but if you tell them they get to spend an extra hour in the yard, if they attend church, you know, I think they'll go to church.
Wow.
You know?
Yes.
But anyway, those were the two jurisdictions that I really thought that we could really learn from. Norway would be like the best case scenario, but I don't know. I think it'll take us
a step. Like I said, it'd take us 20 years. You know, that'd be further down, but we take the first step, like what you're talking about. Use that for a pilot project.
Norway, the only thing that Norway didn't have was they couldn't just leave the prison and go home. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just, I was like, wow. This
yeah,
is
it was, I saw it. I watched a documentary.
Yeah. It's a very good one. I'm sure you have contacts within that department and with the minister.
Yeah.
In his
I will.
Have a watch of that and see what we could do. But I'm all for a new prison. I think, you know, prisoners, they're just like humans just like us, you know, and, you know, if they get put on death row and if they get sentenced to life, they have to be treated humane. I mean, that's just, it can happen to anybody's family, you know, like things happen.
Yeah,
you know?
It happens to everyone's family. I know someone out there has, just for their family, the majority of families in the city community has someone who's in prison.
Exactly.
You know, so.
So, yeah, I think hopefully, you know, I think Wayne Monroe is the minister, right?
Yeah, he's doing a good job.
Yeah. So I think, you know, hopefully he'll get it done. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I think it's very, very long.
And he's open. He's very open. He's listening. I like people who listen. He's listening.
Yeah.
He's listening and take notes.
I mean, we need a lot of things. We need hospitals as well. We need schools, improved schools, but you know, I think we shouldn't overlook that aspect of society. So.
Yes.
And I don't have a vested interest. I don't have anyone in prison, so I mean, I don't have a vested interest at all.
No,
I
you just yes.
Side.
You yes. yes, and that's good. And that's the view I like from the callers, because we are seeing the whole bigger picture here. You know.
Yeah. Thank you. I just thought I'd call and mention that.
You did a wonderful job. Your voice sounds familiar too.
Thank you.
Enjoy your night. You did a wonderful job.
Okay, thank you. Have a good one. Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks very much. And I tell you, the callers do such a fascinating job of giving ideas. And again, those of us who would say, let them run prison.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again. If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.
Sorry, one second. We had a little technical difficulty just now. Sorry about that. We had a little technical difficulty just now, but the caller did an awesome job talking about the pilot project going on in those various countries, Belize, and, you know, and if you look at the rehabilitation, what they're doing in these countries, you'll see they have said to themselves that, hey, what we're doing for the last 50, 60 years is not working. We have been repeated offenders who come on the streets. They hurt marker watchers. They hurt our elderly. They hurt little Bella. You know? And it's a problem in the police. Like Michael Pintard was saying, the police only could go and do the investigation and lock up. Other than that, persons go to prison. They get worse and worse. And then when they get a chance to come back in society that is not equipped, and they're not equipped to go back in society because they don't have the skills, they don't have the proper mindset. Their mind is corroded. And why I say their mind is corroded, could you imagine, right? Now, like I said, I'm not taking up for no one who do the crime, but there's a lot of innocent people in the country. But at the same time, you get sentenced, we could rehabilitate you. People can change. There are some will not change, okay? But we have to make an effort to make a lot of them change because they're going to be coming back in society. And if we don't put the program in place, we're going to have all of these little Marco Archer. If you look at the history of the young man who is sentenced now for Marco Archer, he was my classmate. And I know when he got locked up in D.W. Davis and get sent to prison at a young age, and he got raped. And then you see when he did his 7 years, he came back on the streets. And he only did what he learned. I'm never saying it's right, but he only did what he learned because he himself was raped. according to what our information when we was in school and, you know, we was getting information, we heard that he got molested. And then we hear he turned a molester. And there are many molesters up in prison, okay, who for when these innocent young men who probably make one or little two mistake, thief something with a sharp teeth for tennis, or probably get a little joint no one, sign a bill, and probably persons of Haitian descent who don't have no status in the country and don't have no one to sign their bill. So when they in this country and they get locked up for small offenses, they're put before the court. They don't have no one to sign their bill. So they end up in prison. And you can imagine in prison for a marijuana joint, right? Which only costs about $5 a gram of marijuana, not even probably a gram. And we're going to send him to prison. And he's going to stay in prison because he has no one to sign his bail. And what's going to happen is that he go in there soft. And then he's going to end up with hardened criminals who go look for favor. And someone, some inmate is going to be able to get him bail. Then he owes that person a favor. The person who's going to assist him is the person who's doing long time in prison, who has access to the prison officers, who knows how the prison run. So you owe him a favor. So he'd end up sending somebody to come sign your bail, sign that individual bail. And once his bail is signed, he'd say, look, yeah, you got a favor for me. Someone is messing around somebody. And that's the end of you. And you don't have to do nobody nothing. It's just that you had a row with somebody and they didn't like it. They have a brother or uncle or someone in prison who get the message you sent, because we hear all the phone confiscated or the prison over, what, 200-300 or more phone. It only takes a phone call, and prison's supposed to be protected, and that information gets out, and you going about your normal life, and a guy just jumps out the bush and kills you. And he don't know you, but through circumstances, he have to do a favor. So we have to take that power away from those individuals and have the proper programs in place and the reentry program in place and have the community, the churches, the community leaders, social service to absorb that person when they come back in the community. And like I say, a lot of Haitian nationals who are behemoths but don't have their passport, don't have their documents. And a lot of them get locked up and they're stagnating in this country. And a lot of them, along with behemoths, minds are twisted. And the lady talked about being human, how do you say it? Being kind to individuals, regardless of what they had done. Some are too far gone, and we might not like what they did. But at the same time, we could help the others that stand a chance of coming back and contributing to society. And the Minister of National Security also talked about how they can reduce the flow of inmates in the prison. The prison commissioner, he stated that there has been a decrease on inmates at the prison. So that's a plus. And the Minister of National Security, according to him, they're looking to try and see how they could avoid sending people to court for petty offenses, because it's overcrowded in the prison. And many people, he said, don't really need to go to prison for some of these small offenses, because it's a burden on the behemoth taxpayers, it's a burden on the courts, and it's a burden on the prison, and it's a burden on the police officers to do all this investigation, to have a case with one marijuana joint, or someone thiefing, or a woman thiefing three chips, or, a corned beef and rice out the shop, just because she has nothing to eat on a kid, so she just goes through desperation. This is not intentional. Through desperation, I'm not saying it's right. But the God tell you, you know, if you need something, you know, that's just the way, because it causes you to do things uncharacteristic You know, a hungry mother has children home. She has no one bringing in no income. And the couple all she had, she just paid a light bill, internet bill, because, you know, the kids, them home, and, you know, you need light and you need internet. So the last couple of dollars going on that little grocery which she had was supposed to last for 5 days. The kids eat a lot under that COVID-19. So she just goes to the Super Value, not intentionally. And she don't like to ask people for things, you know? And she don't like to steal. So she must have a little $3 in the pocket or $5. And then she say, you know what? I think I could be able to get this 2 pound corned beef and this little rice, steal it out here, and I'd pay for the Kool-Aid and the noodles and stuff, and I'd try steal it out here. But, you know, we would rather, even though she's wrong, but she's right, even though she's wrong. If you ask her, why would you want to put her before the court for a 2 pound of tuna? I mean, even though it's stealing, you know, and it's not right. But why waste the court time and we are human? Right. Now, some cases, we have to do it to people because they intentionally do it and keep on doing it. But they just said we put before the court. But you can imagine being a security officer, police officer, and you hear a story and she telling the truth. Call home and check a house. And then she said, you go back to the store and you say, man, Mr. Manager, you know, if I pay for this, would you drop the charges, you know? And that's what we are as a country, you know? We're going to take this call, and then we go to the second half of the show. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Yeah, good night, Scoozy.
Good night.
Inside Inner City. Scoozy, you know, this is a very interesting topic, right? I mean, for people like me, I mean, you know, we grew up in the inner city, so we know what the prison is like. We know what the interior, I know, I guess you've been there before, right?
Yeah, I ain't spent a long time now because I was smart. I covered my tracks.
Scoozy. To me, they carried me there twice, right? But what I'm saying is, you know, the interior was. And so I've been in the new reprimand, I've been in Maximum, and I had a chance to see the quality of the dorms, you know, where they have the mass prisoners together.
Yes, yes, the dorm.
One dorm, right? Because I went to visit my brother one time and I saw that. So I was in a scenario in reprimand and in Maximum, right? And so I never was sentenced like you, but I've been in the bulkhead. The G block and all of those things, right?
Yes, sir.
And we see how small those cells are, right? See, yeah. I'm over 6 feet. I'm over 6 feet three, right? Scoozy?
Yes, sir.
And I remember I couldn't extend my cells sideways, but lengthwise. So I guess the cells in the G and the bulkhead and the G block would be 8 or 6 by 10 the most, I think. You know, and so I look at the size of the cells in the reprimand maximum, right? And then I'm wondering and pondering, like, just trying to confirm what you're saying, 7 people per cell now, right?
Yeah, that comes from the Office of Smoke.
Find out how come the United Nations and the Human Rights Organization,
yeah, we're talking about that,
right, being in an uproar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I've spent time behind the walls, right? And so you know and I know, in order to maintain your sanity, right, if someone come along with the smoke, then you can read books, right?
Yes.
To get your mind behind those, from behind those walls. That's what the order of the day is, if you want to maintain your sanity.
Yeah.
Living around these people, some soldiers would put up the screen so when you go in the bed and you know,
yeah, the sheet tied on the bar,
the plastic, the plastic garbage, yeah, bag. Instead of just trying to paint a little picture of the,
yeah,
people,
and everyone going to the bar, right? Then everyone going to the bar.
They never thought that people would articulate, but we have seen this scenario in Central Station itself, right?
Yes, sir.
And so, you know, they could talk. See, the thing is, what I hate about this country, they're so politically ionized. Right, to one polarized, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
That if I said that I like Mr. Meehan, people would say, oh, this and that. But, you know, I give credit where it's due, and I lambast and it's due. Now, I think that's a brilliant idea,
mm-hmm,
with Mr. Meehan is coming with. Because these people, they're on the ground. And so even economically, right, Scoozy?
Yes.
And then, like me, like, you know, I'm not even into the field, but, you know, I've do just to my reading travels. I was wondering if they could do a data research, because when you read online information, you get confused sometimes. And yeah, I don't try to go down every rabbit hole, but they should do a research on negative reinforcement, positive reinforcement, and continuous reinforcement. Find out which one is most effective.
Mm.
And you can start from young.
Continued.
What happens is,
I think continued reinforcement.
Yeah, it's the best one.
It's the best one.
So they say, right, Scoozy?
Yeah.
Thanks, but hey, listen. You see, that's what they say. See, they'll never expect for you to be on that level that they don't know self-education makes you most dangerous, because what happens is a mom with knowledge, you can't control him.
Mm-hmm.
They say in school, she now, even though 52 was on the radio speaking the truth about the scamdemic, right? He was hated and ridiculed, but right? By, you know, sometimes, and I used to be wondering, you know, you had a rebroadcast on you, but every Saturday, right? You would say, I boastful, right? But I don't understand that, school. You don't understand it's a ghetto you.
Don't worry about him. I,
that's my brother.
Yeah, don't worry,
don't
worry about
boastful,
yeah, 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 don't worry about that. Don't worry about him. Don't worry what he had to say,
yeah,
right?
Listen to me, brother. Listen to what I'm saying. There's so many things to be heard. People say, well, oh, you read the book. You know, when you read a book, right? Firstly, not what you read in the book has to be true, you know. But you have the ability, supposed to see what's true and what's
that's
what's,
why I asked the father. That's why you ask the father. See, for me, and anyone out there who want knowledge, this is what you need. You need knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. The last thing I ask God for is bravery. And I say, sir, bless me, where I could be able to take care of myself, not to get rich. So you hear what I ask for? Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. See, you got wisdom. That don't mean you have the art knowledge with that. And
you
have the art understanding.
Know to use them.
That's right. So you could
see?
Be, yes.
That's why they can't mislead me.
That's right.
So in being an orthodox, or what they call a self-educated person, you know, I didn't, not totally, but you know what
he
I
said, mean. Moses was self-educated.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, you know, I remember my primary school teacher, Miss Fox.
Jay-Z.
And I remember all of my teachers, them in St. John's and all that, but right. And I appreciate all of them.
Mm.
But what I'm saying is, because of them, I'm able to really see two things now. Remember when they were saying 50, you didn't understand the science?
On 50, listen. Listen.
He was a non-pundit, right?
You prove your point. You prove your point. You was with
it wasn't about me, man.
No, it wasn't about you. But you responded. But you also responded like how you say you was listening to your boy show and he said this, or you listening to your Wago show and he said this. So
yeah,
that's
but
what I talking.
Was hard on me.
Yeah,
that.
But
yeah,
see, but see like, again, see the 50. That's where you go wrong again. That's why. See again, if you know you make sense and what you see come to pass, then there's no reason. I know. There's no reason for that. Yeah. Go ahead. See, I'm gonna go off course because I want to really get this conversation.
But what I'm saying is, information is information.
Yeah.
Right. But let's stick back to what we discussed.
Yeah, because I'm gonna go off course.
Me and you know the degradation of the inner city, right, Scoozy?
Yeah.
And I'm telling you now, last night I went to pick up some food by a restaurant close by, and they had two people ask me for money, and I spent 9 out of 10 times I give. You know,
I can't walk the streets.
You know, yeah. And so
I can't walk the streets.
So this is real for me and you on the ground.
I can't walk. Ask anyone. I can't walk the street. I be finished.
See,
I be. I have to stay inside. I stand inside.
But being noticed, Mason still living?
Mason?
Yeah.
No, Mason get killed along with his son.
No, man. You mean...
Danger.
Moshe, brother?
Yep. All of them, two of them get killed. His son in prison. But Mason got killed.
I know Mason got killed.
Yeah, Mason got
killed. Me and Benji was, you know...
Yeah, Mason got killed. Benji got killed, too.
Yeah, I know in Benji.
Yeah, Mason got killed.
Yeah, but I didn't even know that. But I know Mason was reformed.
And his son served 35 years.
But Mason was reformed. He was in...
Something happened with involved with his son.
Yeah, but I'm glad you tell me. I didn't know because after a year you talk with Moshe, I said, let me see if that was, because I didn't know all of them. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, back in the days, everything was normal.
Yeah, and guess what? What people are saying, when they say Moshe, when they say Yuval, and when they say Benji, all them are uncles and brothers. They're uncles and brothers and cousins. All of them got killed.
But you need to keep up the works.
Thanks, man.
I beg you up the other day on CA Newry because I was telling him, school is trying to get A Street to look like Bay Street.
Yes, and it's coming along.
So give thanks, brother. Respect.
Thanks a lot, man. And 52, let me just tell you something. You do an awesome job, and you were right. The COVID pandemic was a hoax. You can't see that. That was trying to take away your freedom and democracy.
If you'd like to make a call.
Let me just say that. Yes, there was a virus around, but there was no reason for the entire world to lock down. When we have all this technology and all this information, and look what come to now. They are saying a lot of people who took the COVID-19 shot, either the Pfizer or whatever, they have blood clots, and some scientists around the world say they've never seen how the human body is transformed into a whole different species, all right? They're saying blood clots, they're talking about birth rate, they're saying birth rate drop, ain't too much woman pregnant. Look around now, so you see a lot of women pregnant. Huh? You know? Look around. Go look at the research and listen to some of the doctors worldwide who are talking now about when they finding people who pass away. Ask the morticians. They're checking these bodies a person who passed away who took the COVID-19 shot. They're saying that the people in body has transformed and has different antibodies and stuff in it, and people are blood clot like 4 feet, 3 feet in them. Their blood is completely different. So, 50, and you know, you don't need to be responding to everything if you just know the cost of the cost. And I like to say this, I'm glad you talked about what the talk show's name you talked about, but anyway, I know I'm good. You know, many people on the show, they call in and they would say, Chicago Line needs to do this, or Juan McCartney, or Aaron Green. I would just like to say to my colleague, Shiad Guardian, it's not Valentino Brand who mentioned your name. It's the callers out there who calling on the show, and because we have a conversation, they're using the opportunity they have to speak to make a point to Guardian Radio. It has nothing to do with me. Far as me as an individual, I respect all you guys. All of you guys have your different perspective and what y'all bring to the table. And I respect that. And I'll never cross the line to actually be scrutinizing or talking about my colleagues. Now, I stand up for what's right. But far as I'm concerned, each one of you have a field that you are good at. And even though many people say, I need a slot in the day, but look, Fridays come fast. I don't have the time to come on a show from Monday to Friday. Now, if I get some extra minutes on the show on Friday or whatever, or if I decide in the future to say, you know, I like a next day or so. But I'm quite content with the time given here on the show at this particular time. Because I know from being on this show, I've seen a lot of ideas that I've talked about come to fruition just by giving ideas. So you don't have to be in Parliament to make change. This show, what Guardian asked me to do, to come on the show and bring solutions and ideas and get the general public go up, has been very successful. You listen to the various different callers. So I think I'm doing a wonderful job of helping direct the country in the right direction. So I just like to say to everyone, when you're going to talk about those other talk show hosts and how they do this to you or whatever, I'm not saying don't say it here on this show, okay? I'm just saying if you're going to do it, remember that I am here. And sometimes, man, people say things on a different person's show, and I'm a colleague. Some people might say I'm entertaining that, you know? So please, look out for me. You know, I'm not concerned what goes on another show. Let's take this time to focus on inside the inner city and you. I don't want to hear nothing about no Chicago Line. I don't want to hear nothing about no Juan McCartney. I don't want to hear nothing but no Aaron Green, okay? So please, for me, because I listen just as well as you. And yes, we all have our different art ways and et cetera, and I understand that. But please, for my sake, don't do it for me. If you have a problem with Juan McCartney or Hubert Edwards or Aaron Green or whoever Juan McCartney, please feel free to call them on their show. And you tell them. Now, some things you guys who are calling and you could be saying something that could make their show better, because you do give your opinion on why y'all are saying certain things towards certain individuals or talk shows. But I don't want to get myself involved. And I'm not knocking nobody. I'm just saying for my sake, I want to keep the show going so we can make changes in the country. I don't have time to worry about who get the most time or who get the most ratings dying for me. I won't be the one who have make change. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City. Then we're going to my second segment. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, that's right.
Good night, good night.
Sparky.
What is this?
Sparky.
Sparky. What happened, Sparky? You sound different tonight. You ain't drinking no bass tonight,
eh? No. I just coming down for a shot. I just passed the sea breeze corner, headed west to one side of the
sea. Man, you sound sober, man, Sparky, man.
I'm a bucket mode master.
Yes, sir. How I get out of you, sir?
See, Sparky is the bucket mode master.
Yes, sir.
One thing I like about you and doggone naughty, you all are speaking like it is.
Yes, sir.
On Friday night, and every evening after 4 o'clock, you and naughty is let them talk real. See, majority of them talk show hosts, like Warren McCartney and all of them. You ever heard the word arrogance?
Go ahead.
You ever heard the word arrogance? Most of them would be big enough themselves as talk show hosts. Their whole show is always about them.
Yes, sir.
And their knowledge and what school they went to and degrees they got and all that kind of thing. Right?
Yes, sir.
You talking about what's going on in the inner city?
Yes, sir.
And what's going on in the country and what is real?
Yeah, that's why everyone say, yeah,
Warren
I understand.
McCartney and all of them money to big enough themselves, you know?
Oh, Lord.
That's all they do. You just said a while ago, you don't want this. You don't want to hear about them on your show.
Yes, sir.
Most of you listen to all of them. They bigging up their knowledge about things and the schools they've been to and all kind of bulls. We need to talk about what's going on in our country.
And everyone say that on my show.
And how are we going to get this fixed?
Yes, sir.
You understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
And I know. Look, listen to me. Listen to me for a moment there.
Go ahead, sir.
And I don't want 52 to get mad at me either. Because I respect him very highly.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I think you should be an instructor. I mean, talk to him, Sparky. Tell him just pop in my truck. He listening to yourself.
Yes, sir.
I don't want 52 to get mad at Sparky. But 52 is do the same thing. 52 always blowing up his self with knowledge about science and all that kind of thing. And at the end of everything he says, he's calling everybody dumb and stupid. Because 52 is the only one know everything but everything. Another fella in Freeport, the critical thinker.
Yes, sir.
He's the only one, when it comes to computers and everything, he's the only one know everything but everything. Then when you come to the boy, what's his name, Graham?
Yeah, go ahead, Sparky.
Graham know everything but everything.
Oh, Lord.
But sake, screw it.
Yeah, listen, Sparky.
The only two people in this world know everything but everything.
No, sir.
It's Scrooge and Sparky.
Sparky ain't huge.
Oh. But fell in the next town outside of me.
Yes, sir.
He say he knows some things, too.
Hold
on. Oh, did you say?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But the fell in the town, they ain't screwed. The fell in the town, they say. He okay. Said, they say, Sparky, let me get, he got Prince Satellite right up here. What you say, bro?
Okay.
You're still gonna laugh. Hey, only you and Sparky know everything but everything. Step out of the doggone smart fella.
Yes,
say,
sir.
Dumb.
Oh, Lord.
Warren McCartney didn't know. Now, Warren McCartney said trying to talk like a behemoth, but he's a foreigner now. Gone to school for 4 years, come back talking like a foreigner. Then he banned me from his show for the rest of my life.
Rest of your life?
How stupid that a man is. I tell him, maybe to one bar and I'll walk in so I can buy him one beer and forget it.
And you all two sit down and talk.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead, sir.
Why would a man buy a big, grown 70-year-old man from talking to his show for the rest of his life?
No.
Like me and him, some love affair.
Oh, Lord.
Tell him, maybe to buy him, let me buy him one beer and forget it, man.
Okay. Thank you.
Warren McCartney. Sparky, love you.
Yeah, man.
See you later.
You love him. You love Warren McCartney.
But I love you.
Yes, sir. Thanks very much. Alicia and
hey,
everybody.
Good.
Yes, sir.
Good.
Yes, sir.
Tell it like it is, man. All these little freaky talk show hosts, there's a bunch of freaks trying to big up their self. That's all they doing.
Thank you very much, Sparky. Oh, wow. Boy, I'm going to open a can of soup. And like I said to my colleagues, they hate me, sir. People say, they want me to have more time because I talk about things that is happening in the country. And not only that, I'm doing a lot of programs that are beneficial to the Bahamian people that concerns our safety, that concerns our welfare, concerns our future. So a lot of people is be kind of upset and they're saying that, you know, you need more time. We want to hear you, you know, but it's up to the station. And I appreciate it. Go ahead, we can take this last call, then I'm going to get the Chester Cooper. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside NC now. Again, it ain't me, my colleagues. Go ahead, caller.
Brother Brown, I hope you're doing well.
Oh, Mr. Thompson. Go ahead, Mr. Thompson.
I had to call you because, you know, when callers call into the show, I have seen where the personalities who are behind the microphone
yes, sir.
Constantly violate the constitutional rights of callers.
Mm.
In fact, I'm going to work on something about that.
Yes, sir.
That foolishness has to stop.
Mm.
Where you have personalities behind the microphone They don't want to hear this. They don't want to hear that.
Hmm.
If you are on the airwaves,
yes, sir.
You're subject to scrutiny.
You are.
You ain't going to come on the airwaves and say what you want to say and no one challenge you.
You got to be right.
Who do you think you are?
No, I'm not saying it to them, but I'm saying you can't be right as an individual. No, you can't be right on everything.
But see, I'm dealing with Constitution.
Yes, sir.
The Constitution determines what is right and what is wrong.
Yes, sir.
I'm not interested in how you feel.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear that. Let me give a direct quote from the Constitution.
Go ahead, sir.
The Constitution says freedom to impart ideas and opinions without interference.
Yeah.
That's what the particular personalities need to understand.
Yes.
You do not interfere with the freedom of expression of people calling into a radio station. Where do you get that foolishness from?
I understand. So you support...
No station could make any kind of policy to interfere with the Constitution.
Mm.
That station would be wrong.
Okay.
Even if the station does it.
Mm.
Doesn't make it right.
I understand.
Brother Brown, see, look at law...
Yes, sir.
I look at it through the eyes of the supreme law of the land, which is the Constitution of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Yes, sir.
And yes, many of these personalities who are behind the microphone, they know nothing about the Constitution.
Mm.
They're in a privileged position to talk to other people.
Yeah.
But if they're challenged at any time, see, they tried that trick on me too, but see, I could deal with them.
Yes, sir.
And they're no problem to me.
Yes, sir.
But the woman in Danetown with those five boys, she wants to say something and you're going to talk foolishness and nonsense.
Mm.
You show me in the supreme law of the land that you have a right to do it, then I'll say, okay, you have a right to do it. Supreme law doesn't say that.
Mm. You're correct on what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. No, I say you're correct what you're saying, sir.
Yeah, so I believe the radio station managers and owners need to deal with these personalities they're putting on the airwaves, they call them talk show hosts, fine. I have no problem with that.
Mm.
But the way how they behave, see, I listen to them just about every day, and I see how they violate people's rights, man.
Mm.
I get real pissed off about that.
Mm.
But something will be done about that, Brother Brown.
You mark
my word.
Y'all are expressing it.
You mark my word.
Yes,
something
sir.
Will be done about that.
Mm.
These radio station managers and owners better wake up quickly.
Mm.
Because that kind of crap cannot be tolerated.
Yes, sir.
In 2022, going on 2023.
Yes, sir. You didn't want
to either they change and conform to the Constitution or something else
happens
to them. I can put it just like that. Or something else. Because, see, that's what's going to happen.
Yes.
I know of a particular personality who thought that particular individual was so smart and dealt very unfairly with a caller.
Mm.
And that individual was dealt with very, very seriously.
Yes.
I can leave that just like that.
Thank you very much.
He who had ears to hear, let him hear.
Yes, sir.
Because some of us heard hard, you know.
Yes.
Even I be on the air. I'm not superior to anybody.
Mm.
I'm not above being challenged. I'm not above being criticized. What kind of nonsense is this?
Mm-hmm.
And this is done every living day. These personalities are on the radio.
And they
that's
hear the,
nonsense.
So they hear the surf. They hear the surf. They hear the surf.
I didn't hear you.
No, I'm saying they're supposed to be here to surf.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Correct, Brother Brown. They're here to surf. So you're not any superior person. I tell people all the time, when I'm on the live side of the phone broadcasting,
because
I do that, I'm not better than them.
Yes, sir.
I'm not. My rights as a citizen the same as theirs. The same rights in the Constitution what they have, I have. I ain't got no more than them.
Yes, sir.
Because I'm behind the microphone. What kind of nonsense is this?
Yes, sir.
The same exact, precise, identical rights that are in the Constitution for the QC on top of the hill.
Yes, sir.
To the beggar in the street.
Wow.
The exact same identical rights. Nothing changes.
Yes, sir.
Because the supreme law is the Constitution. See, yes. I can stop right there because you know I could go on and come back.
You did a wonderful job, sir.
But Brother Brown, I needed to say that.
Go ahead, sir.
I heard what you were saying.
Go ahead, sir.
And I understand your position.
Yes,
because,
sir.
You know, you're in a peculiar situation.
Yes, sir.
I can leave that just like that.
Yes, sir.
But the callers have to be helped.
Yes, sir. You are correct.
Express themselves.
You're correct.
Properly.
Sparky is correct. And,
they're not doing it.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank
sir.
You very much, Brother Brown.
Thank you very much. And Sparky and everyone else. Thank you very much. And you're always doing a wonderful job, Mr. Thompson. Just that's the number one constitution, man. Producer's in. We're going to have to take a break. We have about 20 more minutes before the show ends. And then I want to talk about the good works that Chester Cooper's doing for his constituency. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Inside Inner City on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a signed blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see,
the Access Accelerator Small Business Development Center is here to help small businesses throughout the entire Bahamas. To better serve you, we've made it easier to contact us. Call 461-7232, WhatsApp 359-0626 or 359-2394, email helpdesk@sbdcbahamas.com or submit a ticket when you visit our help center at accessaccelerator.org. The Access Accelerator, empowering small business.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Bahamian, bro.
Good night, Bahamas, and welcome back to Guiding Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge or Scroogie, host of the talk show Inside Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. Today, we're talking about a few topics. The great job that the Minister of National Security, Dr. David Allen, and Kiva Bedell, and the host of People Who I Call, who are doing an extremely good job as the advisory committee at the Ministry of National Security, and myself included. Also to the prison commissioner, Mr. Clare, Commissioner Joan Clare, on his intervention, his wisdom, and his understanding that we have to change the dynamics of what we are doing in the prison. So I think we're going to see a new change and a new way of rehabilitation at the Bahamas Correctional Center under this new Commissioner Clare, and also the initiative that the Ministry of National Security is taking to make safe reentry, to make a safer Bahamas for all of us, because we understand the problem of the reentry, the repeated offenders coming, taking the lives of Bahamians and causing havoc around the country. We're going to take this last call, and then we're going to Deputy Prime Minister is on this great way. Go ahead, caller. Please, caller, if you could make it real quick, if you could.
I can barely hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, okay, Scrooge. Yeah, I agree with the last two to three callers.
Yes, sir.
That a lot of the talk shows, I'm not going to call them names like you say, but a lot of the talk show hosts, especially the earlier talk show hosts, they make the shows about their ideas, their views, their feelings, and what they want, you know, what they want to hear and hear you say.
Wow.
You understand? As long as the callers are respectful with their view,
yes,
they should be heard.
Wow.
Like earlier this morning, this marital rape thing has turned into a one-sided conversation where only the men seems to be the guilty one. They beating up the females, they raping the females. And I tried to say it should be about, not about the men, even though the assaults are more prevalent among women.
Yes, sir.
It should be about the spouse.
Mm.
Both of them. You understand?
Yes.
Because it sometimes it's happened to men too.
Yes, you're right. It's both sides.
And
yes.
I also wanted to include the fact that same-sex marriages are in this too, but they're not in the forefront as much as the female groups.
Yes, sir.
And the minute I mentioned same-sex marriage, bah, I was cut off. I wasn't being disrespectful.
No.
And same-sex couples in some parts of the world are married.
Yes, sir.
You know, and the abuse is very, very much prevalent among same-sex couples.
Yes.
They want to say something too, but you can imagine a fella going to the police and say, my boyfriend raped me. So they're using the females around and the United Nations to push their agenda.
Yes, it's supposed
to. But that's not being disrespectful.
No,
like Sparky and MacArthur, Walter Thompson, and that's being truthful.
Yes, that's being truthful. It goes two ways.
Like I said, if the talk, you say something on those talk show hosts, and you ain't saying what they want to say, you're stupid, retarded, you're dumb, all kind of thing.
Wow.
Thanks for taking my call, Chris.
Thank you very much. People are letting their vent out. This is a part of Guardian Radio. I know I made a comment earlier, but people are responding to it. And they respond to it so that we can improve here at Guardian Radio. So all I can say is those who are listening, to those who are the callers talking to, listen to what they have to say. Because at the end of the day, you know, Mr. Walter Thompson, he stated about the Constitution, and we're not better than nobody. Now, I'm not saying you are better than nobody. That's what the individual are saying, that you're insulting them on their views. You know, I grew up with a different way to let people speak in their mind. You know, I could take criticism. I'm not saying that you have to do what I do, but the callers are calling to let you guys know here at Guardian, the management staff and et cetera, what's going on. Now, I really want to get to this Chester Cooper. And I don't think I have enough time to do. I have 10 more minutes, but there's a caller. So, caller, if you could make it real quick, please. I would like for you to really say what you have to say real quick. So at least get these couple of minutes to talk about Chester Cooper and this wonderful job he's doing for the Bahamas and his community. Go ahead, caller. Caller, you there? I guess they live. It's still here. Caller, you there? Okay. Caller left. And to all the callers, you vented your frustration. You talk, for example, like you were talking on the show today and you got cut off because you mentioned something. And I hope the management staff and the talk show hosts who you guys are referring to are listening. Okay? All right, I want to talk about the good wigs. We have high unemployment in the country. And all of this deals with poverty and crime, all right? Because if we have a good economy and everyone is creating making a good living, we would start to get the family structure back. And I think Chester Cooper's on the sub because he knows that this one point, where's the job? Where's going on? Dying it. All right. $1.2 billion in projects for Exuma. Deputy Prime Minister Chester Cooper yesterday asserted that the Davis administration has approved $1.2 million to invest in projects for Exuma alone, as he touted a variety of resort development. Let me go. They said go to business. Man, come on, man. I don't even bring the business section. I can mess up like that. I know everything was in the business section. Well, anyway, with the $1.2 billion in Ragged Island and the constituency that the Deputy Prime Minister holds, he has made investments along with the Bahamas government to invest in Ragged Island and the family islands that he controlled. And he is able to get them invest in hotel and et cetera. At the same time, he's looking at the residents that reside in this community who probably need a hand lift up. Now, building, investing, foreign companies invest. But at the same time, you have people who live in the community who will not benefit. So Chester Cooper us decided, you know, if we're going to invest in building hotels and resort, why at the same time let's upgrade the residents who live in these particular settlements? So he's telling the residents in the community that with a $1.4 billion investment, he's also talking to the owners and investors to help upgrade those people's houses. And Chester Cooper is telling the residents to also come up with creative ideas like build your A, B, and B, because even though a hotel is going to be developed, there are some guests, when it's overcrowded, would like to go into the simple native island type cottage. So if people were able to understand that when this investment starts, that you can benefit greatly with the tourism, the tourists coming into your community, we can change the dynamics here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And he's doing that as MP for that constituency and further development. So with the $1.4 billion investment, and then people are gonna upgrade their houses. They're gonna build A, B, and B. Some are gonna open small businesses. So when people spend money in the hotel and they come to visit, they would also spend money along in that community as they travel. So this is something that I'm trying to create, and I will create in the Grand Sound community, just like what Chester Cooper's doing. He is on to something. See, we are the closest to Bay Street, and crime is high, right? And there's a reason why. Crime is high because poverty exists. So if we could find creative ways on how we could create a job extravaganza, like with different customers coming in the community. We get several million visitors coming in the community, just like what Chester Cooper is doing in Ragged Island, where he's getting investors to build a hotel. And then at the same time, he's letting investors say, let's invest in helping the community residents who live in the community upgrade their homes, help them build small businesses, help them build A, B, and B, and et cetera. You know, build palace where people could do tourists, hair braiding, et cetera. And the same thing can happen in Mason Addition. The same thing can happen in Bantan. The same thing can happen in Grandstand, because we are the closest to Bay Street. And this could change dynamics along what the government is doing to try and curb and prevent crimes from a young age. But if we could just tap into the tourism market now, like how Chester Cooper, the Deputy Prime Minister, is doing now with investment. And he's looking over his constituency, because when he talk about his constituency. He's talking about the Bahamas, but he's talking about uplifting his constituency. Each MP supposed to have ideas like what Chester Cooper is doing in his constituency. He's looking at what's available with the natural resources and how we're going to bring investment in the community. And then he's going to use that to help him build a better community and help the residents. And he's going to be elected again. Okay? So if we could do the same thing in these inner city communities, we could bring unemployment down, we could be crime down. And at the same time, the government of the Bahamas is dealing with the preventative measures, with the reform in the prison, building community centers, helping with programs, giving those scholarships. And then we eventually, as we start to bring revenue in these communities and bring training, we're gonna see a change, because we're dealing with all aspects of life. Okay? So I just want to congratulate Chester Cooper on a job well done. As the Deputy Prime Minister of the country, you're doing well for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and you're a good person. I think you're a good Deputy Prime Minister. You know, you're a good man. I just want you to keep up the good work, continue to help develop the Bahamas and develop your community, and so that you, yourself, sir, can be reelected, because you're doing a good job. And anyone who's doing a good job in any political party, but if you're doing the kind of stuff that's going to be beneficial to get rid of poverty, to get rid of unemployment, right, and to change the mindset of the community, thumbs up. Whether you're PLB or FNM, thumbs up. I want to congratulate. We're going to take this last call. Call up. You give it a minute, please. I make sure I'll give you this chance to get your little 1 minute in. Go ahead, call up. You still a call up? I guess they left. So I hope you enjoyed the show here on Guardian Radio tonight. To my colleagues at Guardian Radio, like I said, it was not me. People calling the show because this is a show that they can express themselves. They know I'm not going to cut up. They know if you're respectful to me, that I'll never cut because I was not brought up like that. Even though I had a rough upbringing, my grandmother always tell me to be respectful from the guy sleeping on the street, hey, to the old woman who 80-something. My grandmother always say good morning, good night. Never believe you know better than nobody. She said the only thing that makes you better than somebody is always make the right choices. Okay, makes you better than somebody else. Make the right choices and the right decision. You know? She said that's what makes you better as an individual. When you're making the right choices and making the right decision. She said that's the only thing that makes you better than that person. You're not robbing, you're not stealing, you're not raping. You know, you're not murdering nobody for no particular reason. You're not lying. You're not cheating on your wife. You're not cheating on your husband. She say, that's what makes you different. But other than that, if you believe you're in your high place and believe you're better than me, you're not better than me. Because at the end of the day, she said, your bathroom, you live in a big house, right? You get your 10-bedroom house. You have a toilet, right? She said, your toilet might cost more than my toilet, but we use the same toilet. Your coffin, when you die, might cost $50,000. Mine's only cost $2,000. We still go in the ground. She also said, you could have the Mercedes Benz. And I have what the car, she said, I have a Nissan Sunny. But guess what? If I'm going to the airport and you're going to the airport, you fly past me making 100 miles per hour and you speed past us all the red light. She said, you know what? I drive slow and guess what? She said, somewhere down the line, I'd end up right in the back of that Mercedes Benz. As fast as that car going. But if I take my time, they're on a straight road and they're going speeding. She said, if I take my time, I still get in the same place as that person in the Mercedes Benz. And you know what? She's the truth because you might have a $80,000 or $100,000 Mercedes Benz. You trying to tell me I can't get to the airport like you? So when it rain, my Nissan Sunny don't attack me just like your Mercedes Benz attack you. The car might value more, but that don't mean it's a car better, you know. You understand me, people? So I'm glad the callers who call at night express themselves to let the powers to be, you know, that they feel disrespected and that this station here is a representation of the people, and the people want to use the talk show host as their beacon to get their points across to the powers to be, the politicians, the pastors and stuff, to help them change the dynamics of this community. So we're here as a beacon to speak for other people, you know. So I just like to say to everyone, to Sparky. Sparky dog was saying, what do you mean Scrooge know everything? And Sparky, I just like to say, I ain't gonna lie, Sparky. You was be a pest sometime, but Sparky, I ain't gonna lie, you was living up the airbase. People just love to hear you talk, you know. So I just want to congratulate you to the lady who called in and to all the callers, you know. I'm very grateful to be able to have a voice. I'm very happy with my position at Guardian Radio. And I thank you all for having a nice conversation. And we are making the Bahamas a better place. I'd like to give a shout out again to Lady Sharon Wilson on her appointment as ambassador to China. And to my boy, Chris B. Brown, Fireman Brown, congratulations, boss, for a job well done. And to all the callers, you guys did a wonderful job. And I hope you guys enjoyed the show. And like I said, the Minister of National Security, Wayne Monroe, in collaboration with Dr. David Allen and Kiva Bell and the advisory committee board that consists of, again, I'm going to give him a shout out, the commissioner of prison, Mr. Don Claire, Dr. David Allen, Kiva Bell, Cleopatra Christie, and you see Cleopatra Christie, you don't believe I went before court when I was young. You see how life has changed? You see how life has changed? Now I'm sitting under the table and helping give suggestions to our country's problem. It's amazing. You never know what you can accomplish once you do the right thing, like my grandmother said. My grandmother said that's the only thing that makes you better than somebody when you're doing the right thing. When you're doing the wrong thing, you're different. Also, Terry Lancey, Brenda Dorsett, Lila Green, Barbara Herboing, William Lund, Dr. Sandra, Dan Patterson, and Miss Patterson have been working together for years. Ramon Ramsey, Mike Russell, Carla Green Smith, and Dawn Taylor, and many others who are doing a wonderful job at advising. And they're doing the job for us, Miami people. They're sitting on the table, they're working, we're working to come up with solutions and pass it on to the Minister of National Security. And then he take it to Parliament, the legislature, and you're going to see a lot of changes. Like I said, a new prison is coming, maximum. Okay? And this is going to, this year is going to be a game changer, because now they have a training program set in place for the prisoners to actually bring them back to being a human by treating them the right way, even though they are in prison. We have to treat them humanely so that when they come out, they have a heart. Not a heart and heart, but a heart. You know what's a heart and heart? Heart and heart if you see these guys shooting at the police. Guys who shooting people in the head, their heart are hardened. And they're very dangerous. And the only thing can change them is L-O-V-E and attention. And also to our females. I hope you enjoyed the show tonight on Guardian Radio. I'll see you next week on Inside Inner City. I'm your host, Valentino Brown, host of the talk show Inside Inner City at Premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Guardian Radio 96.9. Everyone out there, you have a wonderful, wonderful night. Mr. Thompson, Sparky, 59, enjoy yourself. You guys did a wonderful job. Enjoy yourself, Bahamas, and all the listeners and all the callers. Thank you very much for tuning in to Guardian Radio 96.9. Sandana, see ya.
Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. But I do in the best I can. Trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people I from.
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Ghetto.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you'll definitely find smoke. Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Dayton, I say up and running. Caliban say my shovel don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them coming. Today see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason, reason. Only God that I believe in, living. Watch them only passion for a season, season. God bless, I gon' weed them.